I self-correct. Good statement, isn't it? I self-correct. That's kind of a statement the absolute philosopher would have. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the absolute philosopher. I self-correct. How many of us have the humility to self-correct? Or do we think once we're started on a direction that we have to keep going regardless because we made that decision and we must do it? This is what brings a lot of unhappiness into the lives of a lot of people. They get in the habit of doing things a certain way, and that's how we've always done it. So therefore, that's very, very important. And really, it's not very important. It's just a matter that this is the way they think that that is the way they've done it. And so therefore, that's important that they do that. Now, why do they think that they must do it the way they've done it? And as a father often says to his son, can't you ever make up your mind? Don't you know what's going on in your mind? Can't you make the decision to be one-pointed? Can't you determine before you're going to think before you act, you know? Why must you do foolish things and then have to back up and go around them again? So, rather than having an authority figure say that to us, we do everything we can to keep on going, doing what we're doing, because we're going to prove it to be right, even though we know it's wrong and there's no way to prove it to be right. But to self-correct is a sign of maturity. And it's not a matter of being wrong. The word self-correct sort of directs itself to the idea that something is wrong, but it's not necessarily wrong. To self-correct means that, okay, I've gone this direction. I've been very successful in this direction, going all this way. Now, I see by going off this way or that way, I have two, maybe a dozen choices now of ways that I can go, which would take me from where, but I had to have gone from where I am to where I am now, and where I was to where I am now, to have arrived at this point. And to self-correct, we all know about these cars that have these devices in it that tell it which way to go and how to get to places, and these navigation instruments that are electronic, and usually a woman's voice. In 100 yards, turn right. In 10 feet, turn left. Turn left. Okay, now. In 2 miles, turn left. That's the next turn that would take you to where you want to go. And then you turn left again to get back to where you wanted to be. They don't tell you to make a U-turn. Stop. Drive in the nearest driveway and back out and make a U-turn, you know, and go back to where I told you to go. You didn't make the turn I told you to make. Now you think you're going to make a fool out of me. I know what my rules are. So back up now and get back to where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to follow what my directions are or shut me off. So we shut her off because we usually like to do it ourselves. There's always a dozen ways to get to any point. We could go around blocks. We could go back and forth. We could go to many different ways. And the Garmin navigation device shows us how to get there on the quickest, most immediate route and on the good route. Now, we are so smart. I'm going to take this left turn because I know I've always taken this left turn. It's a good turn, even though the navigation instrument tells me not to do that. And some navigation instruments are smart enough. They say, do not take this left turn if you tell. Because how do they know you're going to do it? You know, they know you're not going to do it because they tell you not to do it. They tell you go straight ahead, and then you take the turn. You are now going into a construction zone. And it's going to be one lane traffic, and then there'll be stop signs, and then they let you come through every half hour. As traffic from the other side gets through, then they let the half hour of this side get through. Aren't you smart, you know? Aren't you smart not following your device? And can you self-correct? Can you say, that was not an intelligent turn? So you turn around, you go back 10 miles. to save yourself all that time. And then you go the way that the instrument tells you to go, because it knows the path that is clearest. How it knows these things is interesting, isn't it? How does it know all these things? Who tells it that? It must have people positioned to tell it those things, and those people must know about every little possibility. Of course, the instrument knows there's construction here, and that construction is of interest only if you're going to go on that route. If you're not going to go on that route, the instrument doesn't tell you there's construction there. But do you have the ability within you to self-correct, to make yourself move in the right direction? Now, we all have compasses. We know about compasses that are used in airplanes. And the compasses have to be reset now and then. And the reason they have to be reset is because the compasses are located in different locations. One day you're in Los Angeles, the next day you're in Denver, Colorado, the next day you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Well, now, there is 2% deviation on the compass for every so many hundreds of miles, or maybe it's even every 30 miles. But for every so many miles, there's a deviation on the compass because true north has been now been redistributed because you're pointing to magnetic north, which is off of true north. Now, can you self-correct yourself and realize that that's what you must do when you're doing this? Or do you say, well, the magnetic compass is that way, and that's where I should be going? Well, that's just fine, but it will lead you off course. It will lead you off, and as the further you go one direction or another, the more miles it's going to lead you off course. And if you take a long distance on it, it's going to be a lot of miles when you get to where you're going. So, can you self-correct? Can you listen to advice from others or from machinery? Can you listen to advice from your devices? And this is very important. It's very important. We get software from the computer companies, and we put them on our machines. And when we put them on our machines, we find that they don't work exactly right. Well, now, did we do everything that the software told us to do? Probably not. It says, close everything out before you put me on. If you have anything going, it may cause a hang-up in the program. And so we close everything out that we can see. But we have a lot of things there that we can't see. So what it would be wise to do is just turn off the machine and the computer and then turn it back on again. And you'd have a pretty good chance of having everything turned off. And then put your software in. And then you know it's going to be unimpeded by any foreign activities of other programs that might want to enter into its program. And why don't we self-correct? Well, it doesn't matter. Everything is okay. That's okay. They just mean you maybe how sometimes. And we don't follow directions. And so sometimes we have to back up and try it over again. I know I entered a software program on my computer. I entered it six times, and each time it says, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like how it's working out. I don't like this. And so I would take it off, and I'd start over again. And I'd take it off, and I'd start over again. And then finally, I said to myself, you know, I believe the software is on there. And so I checked to see, and sure enough, the software was on there. It just had a little glitch in making it run again and again and again. Once it had completed, it just automatically started over again because it was not taken off the computer. Well, once I did that, then everything was in order. And it's amazing how just following directions is so important. We sometimes think we can install things on our computer and then go off and do other things, but that's not true. We pretty much have to stay there because it may ask a question somewhere along the line saying, something just came up and it's a glitch and we'll let it run or do whatever you say. And if you inform us in the next 30 seconds or in the next minute, we will make a change. If not, we'll just go ahead. And you see, that happens. And when we don't pay attention, when we are unable to self-correct ourselves from the point of view of thinking that stuff that installed itself. It always did in the past. Well, in the past, things were different. In the past, computers were simpler. When you put things on computers, they just went on. And they didn't care about anything else. They just went right on. And if you put Mr. Norton on there, he would take over everything. He would immediately close everything down, which he did, and then he put himself up as the king. And he was over everything with his special Norton program of looking for bugs, because he had a very important job. His job was to keep the computer free of any glitches or any virus and stuff like that. And after a while, you get a little tired of that, because you're not running your computer to keep it free from glitches. You're running your computer to run its programs. And the glitches should be done in the background. That all should be taken care of somehow in the background. And you should be able to if you're not using your computer on the internet, and you're just doing, you know, Word documents and things like that, well, you just have a switch that turns off everything in the background. So nothing in the internet, nothing can come through automatically, nothing can come through to bother your program while you're working on it. And you probably could have your program working forever that way. I imagine that people who have simple programs without internet connection have almost no glitches, if none at all, no problems at all, except for things they might introduce with software they bring into the computer itself. But they have no problems at all. And you think to yourself, why don't we all do that? Because basically, what we really want to do is to work on programs and not necessarily work on the internet. But we are so accustomed to the internet. We feel it's so important. So we incorporate that in everything we do, everything we do. And if the computer is running off something and we have a few minutes that we have nothing else to do, we go jump off into the internet and do some other thing that was interesting or appealing to us or whatever. We want some information, so we begin to search it out. Well, we open ourselves up. You see, when we can self-correct ourselves from all of these things that say to us, everything we do is so exceedingly important that we should not do anything other than what we're doing, that what we're doing is top priority, and realize that the top priority is our relationship to whatever we're doing. Because if we are running something in the computer, on the internet, we must stay with it. If we are doing something that's very important, we must stay with it. Because the minute we go away, things happen. And it's just like the kids would say nowadays, the mice come running into your computer. You think it's virus, ha ha ha. It's all those mice you got around there. As everybody has a mouse with their computer virtually. And if they don't, they have it on their little flat top thing. So, you see, we live in a world that if we can have the humility to self-correct ourselves, self-correct our compass so that we put it onto the true North Pole, not the magnetic North Pole. If we can be self-correcting our life to put ourselves on the true direction of whatever it is that's important to us, then we'll start to have a lot of joy out of life. But until we learn to do that, until we stop making excuses for whatever foolish things we're doing, then we'll begin to succeed. Now, in Mr. Modem this week, he had maybe about 50 to 100 items of people who failed and then succeeded. And these were taken from many sources, but provided out of the Unity publication in, I believe it was Denver or something like that. And it's quite charming. And it says how Napoleon and somebody else were living at the same time George Washington was living. And Napoleon and this other fellow were excellent militarists. They were excellent at doing things. Whereas Washington, he lost five or six tremendously tragic battles, but he won the war. And of course, because he won the war, he got his fame and got to be president, and he got to be all these other things. But he was so close to not doing that because of his ineptitude at being a soldier compared to Napoleon, who was very apt at being a soldier. And but Washington had one purpose in mind. What was that?
Win the war.
Win the war. And he did. Napoleon had the purpose in mind of the game of war. And because war was a game to him and was a lot of fun and a lot of excitement, he won the war too, but he won it as a strategist. Washington won it as a necessity because he felt that the North was right and they had to accomplish these things in that way. And this is how it oftentimes works out. So when we can label ourselves that we have the humility to self-correct our attitudes, to flow harmoniously with who we are and be who we are, we'll find that we've made a great stride on our spiritual awareness. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Well, you all have a lovely day. Think beautiful thoughts. And know that I'm always here for you whenever you need me in any way at all. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.